It's time to get strong, fit, and resilient. Welcome to the Fear Being Average podcast with your host, Brandon Rinka, where Brandon shares insights, practices, and education on leveling up how you look, feel, and perform. Say goodbye to complacency and get ready to kick the door into a new standard of living.
What's going on, everybody? So today we take a look at why full body workouts is probably the best option for you. So off the bat, this is something that I have recently adopted. I've never been against full body workouts, but I think that over the last 2 years or so, I've seen a lot more value in doing full body. And maybe that's because I grew up loving to train, loving to work out. So going to the gym 6 days a week was a very practical, consistent thing for me. It still is today, but I'm getting smarter with my training and I'm adjusting how we train because I like to train a little bit differently, right? I'm not just chasing pure aesthetics and in a bodybuilder fashion. I like to train as an athlete, train as somebody who is always kind of nurturing elements of performance. So whether it's a little bit of power, a little bit of strength, a little bit of hypertrophy, there's always one primary focus that I'm really driven towards, but I always kind of complement it with other things because, you know, with the SFR training system, it's about being strong, fit, and resilient. And me completely going away from one modality completely it leaves me a little bit vulnerable, leaves me a little bit susceptible to not being powerful or not being as strong as I want to be, right? So I'm not trying to get all the best of each modality at once, but I'm certainly nurturing them all to a certain degree. But there, like I said, there's going to be phases and blocks of my training that are really heavily dosed with hypertrophy, or I'm going to go for a really, you know, strong block of training where I'm trying to get, you know, my max lifts up, that kind of stuff, right? So over the last little while, I've obviously started training more and more clients. The business has kind of been growing, it's been built, and you always kind of have these ins and outs of how to keep people engaged, how to keep them consistent, how to keep people getting results. Because at the end of the day, results is what you want. And I used to be someone who wanted my clients to train, you know, 4 or 5 days a week, and I would usher that narrative over and over and over about, hey, like, we really want to make sure it's a lifestyle thing. We wanted the best results possible. And maybe I was a little bit gung-ho, and I didn't believe that if they didn't train 4 or 5 days a week, that they wouldn't stay consistent. And over the last few years, I'm starting to see that it's the opposite effect, and that there's a better way to approach health and fitness that doesn't require you to hammer your body in the gym 4, 5, 6 days a week or 7 days a week, right? There's a way to nurture that balance and find harmony in taking care of your body every single day, being active every single day, moving every single day, exercising every single day, but not going hard in the gym every single day, right? And this, like I said, creates much more adherence, I believe. The results kind of speak for themselves. A lot of research backs this up as well. And it allows for more variety, more diversity, and it allows for hiccups to happen as well, which we're going to get into. So 3-day full body, what does it look like? Well, when I talk about 3-day full body routine, I'm not talking about, you know, 3 days of classes. I'm talking about 3 days of progressive resistance training. Obviously, again, if you're new to the podcast, this is what I do. I'm a strength coach. I build programs on being stronger, fitter, and resilient, strength endurance athlete. So everything I talk about is always going to be built around actual strength training to create a physiological adaptation of those three aspects, right? So when we're talking about 3-day full body, it's going into the gym 3 times a week, and your training is going to consist of full body workouts, right? So we're going to have movements that are going to target the upper body and target the lower body. That's the large breakdown or the easy breakdown of full body, right? Now, within a week period, that means that we are going to nurture all the 6 foundational movement patterns, right? Where you're going to squat, we're going to have a form of a hinge, we're going to lunge, we're going to push, we're going to pull, we're going to carry, right? We're going to do some functional work. When I say push, that can also mean pushing a sled or dragging a sled, that kind of stuff, or obviously push/press, pressing weight. So that is something that we're going to nurture within those three foundational workouts. All those foundational movement patterns are going to be nurtured in those three full body workouts. They don't all have to be addressed in every single workout, but every single workout is going to have at least some upper and some lower, typically built around, you know, a pull, a push, a squat, and a hinge. And then the other days, you know, the squat might be pulled out for a lunge because they kind of complement each other, things like that. But every single day, we're definitely going to do something around those six foundational movement patterns in those three foundational workouts. And again, maybe a little bit more volume on some. But traditionally, that's what we're going to look at. Okay, that's the three-day full body routine for the week. Now, what you do outside of that is something we're going to get into, and where I'm actually going to highlight and showcase the value of three-day full body. So off the bat, there is some nice, unique research showing the benefits of training frequency going up, meaning that we are training a body part more frequently compared to someone who does a body part split workout, which if you don't know that terminology, you would actually do a workout that's designed and structured specifically around a body part. Think about, today I'm going to do a leg day. Tomorrow is going to be a upper body posterior day, right? Maybe a shoulder day. Then I'm going to do a back day. Then I'm going to do a glute day. And then I'm going to do a chest day, right? I'm going to do an arm day. That would be like a 6 day a week body part split, where we're literally splitting up our weekly routine into specific body parts that we're going to train. So the research out of, this is Journal of Strength and Conditioning. So top of the line research right here. They compare two groups. One group was going to train one time per week with the same total weekly training volume as the other group who trained three times that week. So let's just say, for example, on day one, someone does, the group one, they do five sets of back squats, okay? The other group would do back squats three times per week, and they would divvy that up over three training sessions. So those five back squats wouldn't all be done in one session, but they would be done more frequently with less volume in each of those training sessions. So 1.5 back squats per session. Obviously, that's not the exercise, and that wasn't the actual numbers. What they looked at in this particular study was they had 1 day per week of three sets to failure, or 3 days per week of one set to failure. So it worked out to the same volume of three sets to failure. One group was doing it all in one session. The other group was breaking up those three sets to failure over the course of 3 days. Okay? Now, here's the really interesting stuff. When we're talking about intensity, meaning the 1RMs, your 1RM, one rep max going up, that was supported with greater research behind the group that did 3 days per week. We also saw, looking for the exact quote here, larger increases in lean body mass were apparent in the three-day group. The findings suggest the higher frequency of resistance training, even when volume is held constant, produces superior gains in one rep max. However, training only 1 day per week was an effective means of increasing strength, even in experienced recreational weight trainers. So again, both produced results, but there were greater results in more training frequency. So let's just say you want to do back squats for 15 sets in a week, right? Rather than having 1 day where we hammer 15 sets of back squats on your leg day, because back squats, one of the best exercises you possibly can do. Maybe you're going to do five sets of back squats, five sets of front squats, and then you're going to do five sets of split squats. So all in 1 day, you crush out this massive 15-set leg day with some pretty big movers. Compare that to someone who breaks it up into a three-day per week full body routine. And on day one, they do five sets of back squats. On day two, they do five sets of front squats. And on day three, they do their five sets of split squats. Based on the research, we're going to see greater results in lean muscle tissue, lean muscle mass, and growth in strength gains in the more frequently trained group, okay? Now, there's a few reasons that this would be the case. If you really think about that, if I had a one leg day, for example, it's really hard to take those three compound, multi-joint, complex movements to failure or to the intensity that I could if I were to break that up in 3-day full body. Like, after I do 5 sets of back squats or front squats, good luck having a fueled gas tank for your next 5-set exercise, especially if we're actually going to try to incorporate another big compound movement like a front squat. Or then we go into split squats, which is relatively high central nervous system demanding. So off the bat, if you really break it down, it just makes more sense when we split it up over the course of 3 days that we're not going to have that same taxing effect on our legs, right? As we would with that one crazy, highly demanding lower body session. Now we have the opportunity to hammer out our legs. Our legs are relatively torched for that session. But guess what? Because we're doing full body today, we get to move on to a new muscle group that hasn't been fatigued. So it's not going to really affect our next exercise, the intensity we can use on that exercise. But if we were to hit the same muscle group again after we just torched our lower body, well, there's less opportunity and less chances of us not fatiguing and our performance diminishing. Obviously, that's going to happen, right? So what you'd have to do on that lower body day, you'd have to do a back squat, and then you'd probably go to more like isolation movements, maybe another compound or an accessory in there, right? It just makes more sense to break it down. So that's probably the main thing that I see, the main value that I see from 3-day full body is that you're able to pick better bang for your buck exercises within those sessions. And you don't have to think about, well, how is exercise number 2 or 3 going to affect exercise number 1? Or how is exercise number 1 going to affect exercise number 2 or 3? Because you are doing a different muscle group. That doesn't mean you want to just pick the biggest bang for your buck exercises for those 4 foundational movement patterns in a particular session. There's still going to be this global central nervous system fatigue if you do heavy back squats and a heavy overhead press. You know, we're going to be more fatigued regardless of what the exercises to follow are going to be, right? So we still need to have that understanding that, okay, those first 2 exercises, even though we might go into a hinge next and then go into a row, there's still going to be this global systemic kind of effect on our nervous system. So you still have to be a little bit more intelligent based around that. So that's the biggest thing that I see off the bat is that you're really able to maximize your next lift when we're doing full body because you're doing a different opposing muscle group, okay? So training frequency research is there. That explanation is there. Now going into the central nervous system, if we really think about it, research is pretty conclusive on this as well. When you really hammer your body with a tough training session, so say you really drain your energy stores, it was a really demanding session where you were pushing weight and maybe your last set for each exercise was pushed close to failure. What research says is for your central nervous system to have a full recuperation, you're looking at 48 to 72 hours later. So if we were doing something that was more 4-day a week or 6-day a week, for example, it's going to be really hard to recover in time for our next session, right? Especially if we have a high training volume week, right? If we're doing 5 or 6 days a week of hard training sessions, if you are doing a body part split, you know, you're going to have 6 hard training sessions. Now, most people I get that are listening to this aren't in that space. They're not doing body part splits. They're not working out like that. However, what we do see where the real value stands is every time that you touch and you work and you train a muscle group, muscle protein synthesis is released for that particular muscle, okay? So new proteins are created. So now that we have the opportunity to train that muscle that we really want to develop, let's just say it's our glutes. We want to really develop our glutes. Now we have this surge of muscle protein synthesis after we train that muscle. So for the next 24 to 36 hours, muscle protein synthesis is quite high. So we're going to have new proteins coming in, building up those trained muscle fibers for the glutes. Now, if we were only doing 3 workouts per week and we had a leg day, We had a push day and we had a pull day. We don't get to actually hit legs again for a whole nother week potentially. So we get that surge of muscle protein synthesis and this, you know, new proteins being built for our glutes. And then we don't get to do it for another 6-7 days. That's not maximizing and optimizing the opportunity to send that signal to that muscle to grow. So you're better off if you're trying to build up the body is to send that signal to your muscles more frequently. So that's why 3-day full body allows you to now send that signal again to the lower body 2 days later. And then 2 days after that, you get to send that signal again. So you're getting 3 times the amount of signaling for that particular muscle to grow compared to someone that does 3 training sessions a week, but they schedule it with a lower body and then an upper body, and then with a, let's say, upper body push, then upper body pull. Right? That's how most people would schedule 3 days a week of training that's not full body. So again, we're not maximizing the muscle protein synthesis response. Thus, we're giving our body less opportunity to grow substantially, right? Or efficiently at least. So something we really want to be aware of if you're finding yourself having a hard time building up certain muscle groups, yes, you're still going to see some growth with that one hard training session, but it would behoove you to experience the signaling more often, more frequently, right? But back to the nervous system. Yes, we want to make sure that our body has the opportunity to rest and recover for that 48 to 72 hour period. And 3-day full body, it gives us a lot of opportunity to schedule that out. Maybe our first training session in the week is Monday. Typically is a great day. People are motivated to get back into a routine. And then your next session can happen, you know, full body foundational session can happen on a Wednesday or a Thursday. And then your next one happens on a Saturday. You have a lot of opportunity to rest and recover and restore and help have your body actually build up, right? Actually help build new muscle fibers, get stronger, and recover optimally for your next training session. And then we have a lot of opportunity within those training sessions to hit other aspects of fitness, right? And become more of a well-rounded athlete. So far we've talked about training frequency as a benefit. We talked about the benefit of sending that muscle protein synthesis signal more frequently. And then we've also seen the benefit of giving our nervous system the opportunity to restore and recover so our training sessions going into those foundational workouts can be optimized, it can be maximized, and we can perform at a very high level without adrenal fatigue, without high stress, and without the body feeling very sore, okay? Now, one thing which is more of a behavioral thing and a little bit more psychological, missed workouts happen. I don't really remember training a client that didn't have a session missed every 3 weeks or even 2 weeks for that matter that had a 3-day per week training program. So what that means is if you're following a training program that's built around that traditional or typical, let's just say, lower body day, upper push, upper pull, right? Now, what happens when that individual, your client, or yourself has to miss one of those workouts that week? Now we've completely missed a foundational movement pattern for an entire week. So we're not going to hit that foundational movement pattern for 2 weeks, right? Because let's just say you hit legs on Monday. The following week, we miss that day, and then we get back to a regular training schedule. We've now missed 14 days of training legs, in between legs. We had that one session missed. So this is what people are doing. We're running into this problem where we're neglecting foundational movement patterns because we have a poor training split. We're following a training split that doesn't match our lifestyle, doesn't match the unpredictability of life, and we leave ourselves susceptible to not training these foundational, critical movement patterns that keeps our body strong, keeps our body healthy, and is essential to improving our quality of life. So not only are we not having the opportunity to build muscle for that particular aspect of our body and get stronger and become more resilient, but we also increase the likelihood of having that area feel pain, tension, inflammation, and getting injured and just being weakened as a whole. 2 weeks in between training a muscle group way too much time in between, right? So missed workouts happen, and we need to take that in consideration when we're building a training plan or following a training plan that has you training so infrequently particular muscle groups, right? Because we understand life is going to happen. People are going to go away. There's going to be parties. There's going to be sicknesses. There's going to be long days. There's going to be busy seasons. 3-day full body, even if someone missed a Monday session, okay, we still have that Wednesday and that Saturday session to do full body. So we're still going to hit legs. We're still going to target the push, the pull, the lunge, the hinge, the carry most likely within those other two sessions. So missing that one day isn't the end of the world, right? 2 days a week of really good solid programming is still going to give us pretty good results, right? Especially if you're less experienced. If you're really experienced, okay, not the best thing to do, but still two really good solid workouts going to give you a good result, right? So I can live with that, but I can't live with, as a trainer, having a client miss a session and then have 2 weeks in between training lower body or training the push pattern or training the pull or the hinge pattern. That's just way too long, and we're not going to get good at those movement patterns because there's way too much of a learning curve to these movements that we're going to go all the way back, and it kind of feels like we're starting to phase over again. So we're really kind of just kicking dirt and not making a lot of progress. So that's a big one. And what happens, let's think of it from a behavioral standpoint, if we have a really busy week and we're trying to figure out when to do this and when to schedule that busy night where we do a little extra work to catch up. What day are we going to typically plan those aspects on? Right? We're probably going to miss the session we hate the most. Right? That's why we typically see people that don't train legs always skip leg day. Whatever they have planned for that week, it always falls on the day of training that they hate. So what really happens is someone could easily go a whole month without training legs because one day it's a busy work schedule, the next day they got to take their kids somewhere, the next week they're not feeling that hot. Like, it can really snowball into a month of not training a foundational movement pattern, and it's not uncommon to see that. So don't think that you won't find a way to miss that one shitty training session or the session that you dislike the most. So that way you get to do the fun sessions that are a little bit more attractive to you, right? Oh, I love doing upper body. I love feeling, you know, my shoulders and arms get built. Oh, I love seeing my back get built. And then people hate doing lower. Maybe nowadays it's changed. You know, girls love doing lower. And, a lot of them are going to skip the upper body push because, oh, who cares if I miss shoulder day or I miss chest day? Again, I'll fight that all day long on why it's so beneficial, why it's so important. But again, whatever the session that you dislike the most, chances are if you are going to miss a session that week, it's going to be that session. So really creates a lot of problems. And by the end of 3 months, we might have, you know, if we have 3 full body days, or let's just say we kept that lower session and that upper body push, upper body pull routine going, let's say in 3 months, we missed 4 sessions and they all happened to be for the session we dislike the most. We now have a really imbalanced training schedule where we have 12 sessions on the sessions that you like doing, and we only have 8 sessions of the sessions you don't like doing. Like, that's a big discrepancy. That's a whole month of training difference that we missed out on if you really break it down over the course of, 4 months, not 3 months. So you can see how fast it really adds up, that in the grand scheme, you might go, it was only one session this week, and you do that once a month. Well, over 4 months, you missed an entire month of training compared to the other 2 sessions. So this is another reason why 3-day full body just works so damn well. Okay, moving on. It creates a more balanced training plan. Full body training, it allows us to do other things. It allows us to have our foundational workout plans and days where we're pursuing strength, where we're going towards hypertrophy, we're pursuing performance. Like, we're doing all the things that we really should be putting a lot of time in. The majority of our time should be based around those characteristics, right? Stronger, fitter, more lean muscle tissue. But now this gives us a lot of wiggle room to throw in a day where we touch aerobic conditioning, right? Where we actually train our aerobic system. Then we have a day where we can do a little bit more anaerobic conditioning, or we can do some strongman style training where we're pushing the sled and we're doing some farmer carries and we're conditioning the body in a different manner, right? We become a little bit more versatile with our training. So doing this 3-day full body, it allows us to even have another session where we do mobility. Another day, excuse me, where we get out in nature or we go for a hike. Like, there's a lot of opportunity to build an incredibly balanced training plan. That's a lot of what the SFR training program is all about, is mostly 3-day full body. There are some phases that end up being upper-lower split, in hypertrophy phase, for example. But again, it allows us to put in so much more time and energy into all energy systems, right? So we're not just becoming this one-dimensional aspect of who we are, this one-dimensional type of avatar, but now we're getting stronger, but we're becoming more fitter, or we're becoming fitter, or we're becoming healthier, right? Our heart health is improving, our lean muscle tissue is improving, we're getting out in nature and we're getting out in sunlight. Like, there's a lot of opportunity to put together a plan that really nurtures the body as a whole, which is incredibly invaluable, right? And for a lot of people, this is what they need. The majority of people, they need to train like this. They don't need to train for one specific thing. It'd be more beneficial to train for some power, to train for some strength, to train for some aerobic capacity, train in a manner that's a little bit more high intensity, potentially, depending on the experience level. That's really good for the body to do once a week, to do things that are more lower intensity, but more functional, more foundational, like sled pushing, like carries, like functional Turkish get-ups and windmills and movements like that. Incredible to throw into your routine. It gives us more opportunity and more options, which is great. And options always keep the body and the mind more engaged and a little bit more excited. Now, another big benefit is there's less beat down of one body part, obviously, right? We already gave you the example. If I had that day where I did 5 sets of back squats and then 5 sets of front squats and then 5 sets of split squats, and I finish that off with some hamstring curls and then some leg extensions or leg press, like, by God, by the end of it, oh, we can't forget about the glutes specifically, so maybe we do some hip thrust too. Like, that's a killer lower body day, right? That's a ton of volume. We could be upwards of accumulating 30 to 35 sets by the time we're done, and that's not uncommon. That's a lot of sets. I get it's for the lower body, so we are touching the glutes, we are touching the quads, we are touching the calves, we are touching the hamstrings. I get it. However, that's a lot of volume, and if you think you're not going to be hurting tomorrow, or you're not going to be drained or beat up, or that one body part isn't going to be trashed, and when I say one body part, I am looking at the lower body as a whole right now. If you don't think your whole lower body is going to be smashed tomorrow, and you might have a hard time shitting or standing up off the couch or getting out of the car, like, I don't know about you, but I don't think that's a very productive way to live, right? I don't want to wake up tomorrow and feel trash. I don't want to feel like I got smashed by a car. So I would much prefer, okay, let's dial it back a little bit. Let's do the 3-day full body. Less opportunity to feel like I got ran over by a taxi or an Uber these days. And I feel better. I feel stronger. I feel like, hey, you know what? Today I actually feel good. I feel strong. I feel conditioned. I feel like I have energy, right? I don't feel that sore. I know a lot of people equate muscle soreness to a great workout, which, again, I know there's a little bit of validity to that. Obviously, if you trained your glutes yesterday and you feel your glutes today, you have to know, well, obviously what I did yesterday worked because my glutes are sore. Yes, that's a good sign, but I think sometimes we over-glamorize it, right? And we have to feel, or we chase the feeling of feeling completely torched and have all this muscle soreness to equate a good workout, where that doesn't have to be the fact. That doesn't have to be the position that you put your body in, right? A really good workout isn't based around how much you do or how sore you are or how beat up you are the next day. It's about how strong you get. What is the adaptation like, right? How were the numbers pushed in the workout? Is our performance increasing? That kind of stuff. Is your body feeling better and responding more appropriately to the increased volume, the increased intensity? Those are the signs that we're looking for. And as our body adapting in the form of more lean muscle tissue, more conditioned, a fitter version of ourselves, those are the things that we can really hang our hat on. So that's a big one, right? The body's going to feel way less beaten up, and it's going to feel more energized, more enthused, and you're going to say, you know what? This is something I can get used to. Now, last thing we're going to kind of talk about is there's lots of variety per workout. And I think for, you know, a lot of people, it's exciting that way, right? When you're building up a training plan and then you see that, you know what, today I get to do this carry, I get to do a little bit of a squat, I can get to work the hip hinge movement, I get to do, you know, a push-pull superset. Like, it's variety. And every single day feels like there's a lot going on. So from a psychological standpoint, I feel like it's easier to get that adherence, because if someone doesn't like pushing, like we talked about before, it's not going to be very exciting for them to show up for a push day. Or say they hate training their back and all they see is 5 or 6 back exercises, not going to be something that they're looking forward to. And if you're not looking forward to it, the engagement level and the consistency level is going to be quite low. So I don't want that to be a thing. And everyone can get through 1 set or 2 sets at max, or of a thing that they don't really love to do, right? Then they get it's good for them. So you know what? Okay, it's 1 exercise, sorry. So I'm going to do 3 sets of a back today. Okay, I can handle that. Compared to someone that looks at their program and is 15 to 18 sets of back today and they hate training back, it's going to be a harder sell, right? We know that the adherence is going to be much lower for that individual compared to the other option. So having that variety, it gives a little bit more color to the program, right? It creates a little bit more of an attractive picture. It allows for a lot of variety, a lot of options, a lot of creativity in your training program, which is great as well, and gives us a lot to kind of dig our teeth into. So those are the benefits of why training 3-day full body is definitely your best option for the majority of people. Now, unless you have a very specific goal, I could still argue the fact why I think 3-day full body is so beneficial, but it doesn't mean you have to live there for the rest of your life. That doesn't mean that an upper lower split or an upper or a push pull legs isn't beneficial. There are times I program that in one of the phases, actually phase 3 of SFR physique is a push pull legs, because the training volume does naturally increase and we're really trying to sculpt the body. So there's times that I do push that for a 3 to 4 week block, but for the majority of the year, the majority of your training program and training routine, doing 3-day full body based on all the stuff we talked about, the results based on the frequency, the results based on more frequency throughout the week, the CNS recovery, so you're going to feel better, the inevitable missed workouts that are going to occur, way more beneficial. We're not going to miss a foundational movement pattern for upwards of 2 weeks, or over the course of 4 months, miss a month of foundational movement patterns based on missing one of those a month, right? We have a more balanced training program, so we're going to be more athletic. We're going to have less risk of injury or pain and inflammation. We're going to feel more well-rounded. Our body's not going to be as beaten up. We're going to feel stronger. We're going to feel more connected. All benefits, right? And we're going to have a lot of variety. So it's going to be a lot more exciting. And all those things put together is going to really build a picture, or at least paint a picture of a client, maybe an individual like yourself, who says, you know what, this is something I can really get behind, right? And I think I did a pretty damn good job today, give you the arguments to say, you know what, this makes a lot of sense for me. 3-day full body, that is the way to go. Allows me to get quite creative with the other days, other off days, or maybe I just keep the 3-day full body off the bat, right? And I get such a large benefit. I get more gains than if I were to do 3 days a week of one specific body part range. We know the benefits now. So a lot of good there, guys. Hope you enjoyed this episode. Like always, feel free to share this one, like the podcast to give us some good stars, give us some good ratings, and we will see you on the next episode of the Fear Being Average podcast.